It is a remarkable story, and it's sadly one that has moved from being relatively common, at least in Western countries, to now more uncommon. The number of people that come through Christmas Light, or I find myself talking with children or young people at different times and asking them what they know about this story, about the nativity story, the birth of Jesus. The blank looks that you get sometimes is, for me, a little bit surprising. Well, not as surprising as it used to be. Obviously, I'm talking about it now, so it's happening. But it is one of those things that reminds me that these are stories that are important for us to tell. Now, there's all sorts of different ways people look at these stories. You know, some literally, others not so much. You know, those kind of things. But I want to say that I'm not really sure that matters. Regardless of how you look at the stories, there is always significant power in them. And they teach us things. They reveal things to us. But the important thing, I think, with all of that is that that really only works, as it does with lots of things, if we allow them to. So I was sharing with the people that were here last night, for example, that there are times when perhaps we go back to a favourite book and we read it a second, a third, or a fourth, or a fifth time. I heard this conversation on a radio a few months back now, and one person was saying, oh, at this, you know, at a particular time of the year, I always read such and such a book. So they go back and, you know, maybe it's a Christmas holiday time or whatever, and they read that particular book at that time for some reason. It's just become a habit of what they do. But also, you've probably noticed that as the number of television channels has increased, the amount of new content has decreased. Have you noticed that? So apart from the main channel, all the other duplicate channels or extra channels they have just run movies and shows from 50 years ago. Right? Things like, you know, I Dream of Jeannie and stuff are still playing, for crying out loud, right? But what that means is that when you see, if you have a particular show of that of a particular style that you enjoy, you probably watch those reruns. And there's also movies, I guess, that you have either in, you know, the old technology, DVDs at home perhaps. Some of you might even still have VHS tapes. Amazing, right? I hope you haven't got beta. That didn't last very long, right? Some people here don't even know what I'm talking about. Right, but we have that, but most of you probably go to Netflix or Stan or something like that now for a favourite movie. But even then, you know, the opening scenes of the movie roll and you nestle into your favourite chair or whatever to enjoy your movie, but in the back of your mind you go, I know what happens next. All right, I know what happens next. And I've heard stories about, you know, people that, we got any, I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions, have we got any Star Wars nuts here? One, two, three, couple. Yeah, I'll look at them all. Okay. So for you, probably, you sit there and you recite the dialogue as it goes through. Is that right, George? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Bet your life. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. So that's how well we know things. It starts and we go, I know this. Folks, I want to encourage you that when you look at the scriptures, not just the Christmas story, but any of those stories, that when you start to hear the words and in your mind you find yourself drifting to that place, I know how this ends. Stop yourself at that point. Try and put fresh ears on. Try and hear the story for the very first time. I believe that it's really important to do that. Over the years, as I've looked at these stories, I mean, this is my 39th Christmas since I started working for the church, right? So I've stood here in front of people on this day a lot. But I want to tell you that the discipline of trying to read the story or hear the story for the very first time will enlighten your life, because you pick up nuances or thoughts or ideas or emphases that you haven't seen before. Even times when I'm sitting here about to perhaps preach like I am this morning, and I've gone through the reading and seen it in a particular way and believe that that's what God's laid on my heart to share with you about. But there's times when I sit there and then I hear someone else read the story. I'm seeing Pete nod, because he does a bit of this stuff too. And you hear someone else read the story, and the way they read it, or the emphasis on a slightly different word, or whatever it might be, and you go, "Oh, wow, that's a thought that hadn't come to me before." Sometimes you can fit it in, and sometimes you can't. But it's that kind of thing that if we allow ourselves to be amazed by the story, I think you will find an incredible difference when you engage. Because this is a remarkable story. In many ways, it's completely insane when you think about it in connection with what we understand life to be like. You know, angels zipping around, popping up out of nowhere, scaring the hell out of people. Like, they're all saying, "Don't be afraid," right? And I can imagine what it's like, even when it's a good thing. Wendy Ruault had been up in Darwin, one of our regular people, for those that don't know that name, had been up in Darwin visiting her son and his family, and brought back her granddaughter with her. The rest of the family's coming today or tomorrow, yesterday or something, can't remember. But so Yuki came back, and Hunter lives down here, one of her other grandchildren. And Hunter had gone with his grandfather to pick them up from the airport. And Hunter thought, "I'll surprise them." So when he pulled up for them to throw their stuff in the car at the airport, you know how frantic that is, Hunter has ducked down into the well behind the passenger seat. All right, so in the back seat behind the passenger seat. And when they opened the door, he's gone, "Surprise!" And Yuki nearly hit the deck. She was terrified. Even the best of surprises can frighten us. Folks, this is the idea of some people sitting out in the fields, minding their own business, looking after the sheep, and then all of a sudden, bang, in the sky, there's angels singing at them and talking to them, and they are rightly terrified. God knows us so well. The first words, you read through these nativity stories, you hear the phrases over and over and over again. Do not be afraid. It's okay. Do not be afraid. We've got long ago prophecies being fulfilled. We've got this story of a couple with nowhere to stay, angels talking to frightened shepherds, babies in mangers surrounded by people. All of these things are happening in this story. People, older people who've been unable to bear children, suddenly bearing children. John the Baptist comes to us in that way. And all sorts of other unexpected things in this story. Unexpected people are chosen. Mary is chosen to be the mother of Jesus. The message of what's happened is given to not very popular people. The shepherds get that message. The child is born in Bethlehem, a nowhere place. And yet exactly what was prophesied some 600 or 700 years earlier. All of the pieces of this remarkable jigsaw piece of promise are coming true as the pieces are put in place. But the other unexpected things that happen there is that the Messiah King is born in a smelly stable. And then rather than a conquering hero type of saviour, God presents this most frail of all beings, a human child. Anyone who's been a parent here knows how dependent a newborn child is. Cannot do anything for itself for months. The response is you hear a child cry and you just know you've got to get up. Remember those early hours of the morning? I destroyed a fan at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Not because I threw it, because it was the fifth time I'd got up that night and could hardly find my way to where Ray was crying at the time. And I kicked it. It finished up in about 6 pieces all over the floor. Those times when we drag ourselves around to look after this most frail and dependent part of our life. This is the form that Jesus comes in. This is the one that we see as part of the Trinity, part of the very nature of God, born as a frail human being. This child grows to show us lessons about love, generosity, compassion that swim against the tide of popular thought, which is so much about me first. How much can I gather together for myself? Jesus says, no, be generous, be loving, be compassionate, encourage people, help them, look after the sick and the weak. Do all those things that no one else might do. If we try to keep this remarkable story of who Jesus is contained in a stable, in a manger in Bethlehem, we miss the point. Jesus is a way too a radical figure to be combined in such a way and confined to such a way of thinking. Jesus' ability to transform our lives, to give us direction, meaning and purpose, is found in the teachings of Jesus, who will love us at all cost and brings us to God's side through humility and a life of service and incredible grace and undeserved love that we can't possibly earn. Certainly, I encourage you to make this a most wonderful of days, sharing with family or friends, perhaps enjoying meals and conversation. But take a little bit today, a little bit of time at least, to revisit in your mind, if not on paper or device, the story of this remarkable birth. Even more so, as we continue into the year, let's celebrate Jesus' capacity to redeem and transform us by living lives that mean that we strive to be more and more like Jesus. Not in our own strength, but with God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us to overcome our shortcomings and to live a life that brings hope to others. If you've never really heard or looked at much of the story about who Jesus is and you're struggling to understand how some of the pieces fit together, Mark's gospel gives the shortest and simplest explanation of Jesus' life. It was actually written for people that weren't of the Jewish faith, so it's kind of written for people like you. So we encourage you to, if you want to look and understand a little bit of the story of Jesus' life, that might be something you can add to your Christmas reading, perhaps, and explore a little bit of that. My hope is that you will allow God to dwell so richly in your life and receive the love and hope of all that Jesus brings to us in such a way that it can't help but overflow and touch the lives of those around you. Amen.